بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. I start by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all his blessings, and the best blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bestow on a person is Islam and Iman, and to believe in Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing better than Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it for that purpose, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the lessons that we study and we learn here, it is to lead us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for us to do the worship in a way that pleases Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that when you're studying fiqh, you're not studying just masail and issues and knowing the answer for everything. You are studying the fiqh as a mean to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered and what His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed. Keep that in the back of your mind when you attend those lessons of fiqh, because it is important to know that it is a ibadah, and this is means of the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because your ibadah would not be accepted except if you are on tahara. And the tahara, ya ikhwa, the tahara is a condition of the conditions of many ibadat, and one of them is the salat. So we need to remember that. Now we continue what the Shaykh rahimahullah said, وَكُلُّ جِلْدِ مَيْتَةٍ دُبِغَ أَوْ لَمْ يُدْبَغْ فَهُوَ نَجَسْ. Here he said, as for the hide of any dead animal, whether or not it has been tanned, it is impure. As for the hide of any dead animal, whether or not it has been tanned, it is impure. So the Shaykh now here, he moved on to talk about the hide, the skin of animal. وَكُلُّ جِلْدِ مَيْتَةٍ. Every skin of a dead animal. What is the definition of a dead animal? A dead animal, that is an animal that you are allowed to eat, but did not die according to the Sharia of Islam. Mafhum? An animal that you are allowed to eat. Yani, if you hit a pig with your car and that pig dies, is it maita? No, that's not considered maita. Mafhum? We talk about the maita, which is an animal that we are allowed to eat but did not die according to the Sharia of Islam. That's the definition of maita. Okay. Here he said, the skin of it, whether you tan it or you do not tan it. Now, there is a few points I want you to pay attention to. That first one, what is the skin? To prepare you to understand the topic very well. What is the skin of an animal? What is produced from? Differentiate between the skin, the hair, we said last time, the bones and the flesh. Because you would see the rulings change accordingly. We spoke last week about the hair and the wool. Now we talk about the skin. The skin is a product of what? The flesh and the blood. It grows from the flesh and the blood. This is where it grows from. The reality of it, you see that the skin take the ruling of the flesh and the blood. The flesh of an animal. Secondly, what is tanning? Of course you understand tanning as changing the color. But the tanning has a wisdom behind it, which is purification. Because when they tan something, they remove of it, they put it in some chemicals. Even in the days of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to rub it with some salt and chemicals to remove all the flesh and the blood, and then tan it to a different color. So it's a process of removing the flesh and the blood and the filth of that skin. The tanning is a process of purification. Another principle you need to remember. The animals which is like the khinzir and the dogs, and animals which are
which we are not allowed to eat its flesh, it is najas. It is what? Najas. يعني the khanzir, anything that comes from the khanzir is najas. So when we talk about the skin, and we talk about the flesh, and we talk about the bones of the khanzir, everything we talk about is najasa. Because as the ulama say, the khanzir is najisun bithatihi. The khanzir is najis in itself. Same thing, the dog, the flesh, the bones, and the blood, everything, and the skin of the dog, najisun bithatihi. So anything, you cannot eat its flesh, najisun bithatihi. Yani in itself, in its essence, najas. But whatever you can eat its flesh, and did not die according to the Sharia of Islam, what happens to it? Because it did not die according to the Sharia of Islam, it turns to najasa. See? It turns, because the blood is locked into, yani this is just a reason, the blood is locked into the body. It turns khalas, it turns to filth. It didn't have the opportunity of releasing the blood of it. That's why it turns into najasa and filth. But is that najasa because the meat in itself is pure, or in itself is najis? No, because in itself it's pure, but the najasa, something happened because of the way it died. The termination of the life of that animal, which locked the blood inside the system of the animal, it caused it to turn into najas. Khalas. It was not slaughtered according to the Sharia of Islam. Of course, this is not the only reason. There is another reason. For example, the maita, also an animal that it is slaughtered according to the Sharia, but by someone who's not a Muslim, or a kitabi, like a Majusi, pagan, or someone who slaughters. And the ones which is slaughtered to the idols or to the graves, you're not allowed to eat its flesh, even if it is slaughtered by so-called Muslim. Yani if a Muslim decides to slaughter to an idol or to a grave or something, you're not allowed to eat the lahma of it, or yani use the meat of it. So this is also considered a maita. Mafhum? So that, if you understand this principle, you will understand what we're going to talk about. To do with the skin and to do with the bones of those animals. In al-Hanbali madhab, he made it clear. He said, the dead, the maita, whether you turn it or not, is najas. But what about the skin of the pig? Because some ulama said, if you turn it, it's not najas. Why we say the pig all the time? Because it is the pinnacle of najasa. Some ulama said that the skin of the khanzir is not najas if you turn it. Right? If you turn it. And they use the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُّمَا إِهَابٍ دُبِغَ فَقَدْ طَهُرْ. Any skin that is tanned, it becomes pure. Right? So they said the hadith in general, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any skin. So, the Hanbali madhab, what did they say? They said the maita is najas, regardless whether you turn it or not. Of course, if the maita to them is najas, it's more deserving to say that the khanzir skin is najas. What is the dalil of the Hanabila rahimahumullah? They used for this opinion what Abdullah ibn Akim rahimahullah qal, قرأ علينا كتاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا غلام شاب ألا تستمتع من الميتة بإهاب ولا عصب. Abdullah ibn Akim rahimahullah, he said, it's been narrated and recited upon us a letter from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, whilst as young man, do not use from the ميتة إهاب, يعني skin or عصب, mean they usually use the asab to make strings and things out of it. Now they use this hadith. Of course, the hadith is clear in its testimony that the maita, you cannot use the ihab of it, which is the skin. The ulama rahimahumullah of hadith have weakened this hadith. Yani Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he has weakened this hadith. He said there is so many reasons why this hadith is weak. This hadith is weak. First, because the ulama said that Ibn Akim hid in here himself the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kitab, that he didn't hear it directly. So there is a discontinuation of the hadith that makes it mursal. Secondly, it is muttarib. The wording of the hadith is not stable. And so on. So the ulama here, they said, it is a weak hadith, which is the Nawawi rahimahullah, he weakened this hadith. Now let's go to Bukhari, then go to the hadith that is narrated in Sahih Muslim. An Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وجد شاة ميتة فقال هل انتفعتم بجلدها؟ قالوا إنها ميتة فقال إنما حرم أكلها. Ibn Abbas narrated that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم found a shat, sheep that is dead. He said, won't you use its skin? What did the companion say? إنها ميتة. So what was their understanding, the companions, that you can't use it. But the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا حُرِّمَ أَكْلُهَا. What is the haram from the mayta is to eat it. So that gives us an authority of two things. What are they? The skin, and what? The point we're going to talk about next? The bones, جزاكم الله خير. Can you see? إِنَّمَا حُرِّمَ أَكْلُهَا. The eating of it is haram. Of course, the haqq, haqqu an yuttaba. The haqq is more deserving to be followed. Yani we're not blind followers. So the haqq, the hadith, is being established. And another hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed the house of Maymuna radiallahu anha, and she had a sheep that died. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to them to use its skin. Now, we have this hadith in Sahih Muslim. And we have the hadith narrated to you previously, that any skin that is tanned becomes pure. And this we have the maita. So we conclude to two things. That the skin of an animal that we are allowed to eat and it died according to the Sharia of Islam, tanned or not tanned, it is pure. Because the meat of it is pure to eat. So regardless whether it's tanned or not tanned, it is allowed to eat. But of course, you're not going to take this skin and use it without putting it through some process of cleaning. Secondly, we have now the maita, yani an animal that we are allowed to eat but did not die according to the Sharia of Islam. If it is tanned, it becomes pure. Using the hadith of Maymuna, and any skin that is tanned is pure. So we have the skin of the maita after it is tanned becomes pure. Thirdly, we have specification to this hadith that the khanzir or any animal you're not allowed to eat, whether you slaughtered it according to the Sharia or not, that skin is not allowed to be used. It's not allowed to be used because it is impure. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade from using the skin of tigers. The skin of tigers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani in a hadith in Abu Dawud or Ahmad, he forbade from riding on the skin of the tigers. Some ulama, they said, it is because the skin of tigers is a sign of affluency. Hence, wearing it, or decorating your bed with it, or decorating your living room with it, or putting it as a mat, the skin of tigers, the skin of lion, the skin. And based on this, we have to be careful. For example, the skin of yani snake, the skin of crocodile, animals that we're not allowed to eat, that the women have handbags, bags from, all of that. In Islam, you're not allowed to use because that is najis. The wallet, if it's made out of leather of khinzir, the shoes, all of that, you have to be careful of that. You have to be careful. Because as I said, the hadith, which is general, any skin that is 10 becomes pure. It is general, yes, but the generality of it, it does not encompass which is filth by itself, not just by itself, like the khanzir and the dog and so on. Now, to summarize it, is into three types. Skin of an animal, and this is the opinion of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, the skin of an animal that you are allowed to eat and it died according to the Sharia of Islam, what happens to it? Whether it is tanned or not, it's pure. An animal that you are allowed to eat but it was not slaughtered according to the Sharia of Islam, only pure after you tan it. An animal that you are not allowed to eat, whether it's slaughtered according to the Sharia of Islam or did not slaughter according to the Sharia of Islam, whether you tan it or you don't tan it, it is forbidden to be used because it is impure. Khalas, we've done with the skin. We move to, is there any question to do with the skin? Is there anything to do with this? Or there is something you want to talk about? I'll adjourn talking about the skin of the pig and the bone of the pig that is used for medical reasons after I talk about the bones. Alright? We talk about the bones, then we adjourn that issue and we talk about it, inshallah. And then he said, Rahimahullah, وَكَذَلِكَ عِظَامُهَا. The same applies to its bones. The same applies to its bones. So here, according to the Hanbali madhab, the bones of the mayta, is it pure or impure? Impure. The bones. Why the bones? Alhamdulillah, today, most of the combs and the pots and some of the things that people keep, some expensive liquid or perfume or kahl, it's not made out of bones. And back in the days of the Prophet, a lot of the times these things, they used to make them out of bones. Especially, for example, the combs were known to be used and to be made from bones. Today, alhamdulillah, this issue, we don't have a problem. Everything is made out of plastic. Even your cash is plastic today. Because we are a plastic generation. Even the men and women today made out of plastic. They make plastic operations to them. So everything around us is made out of plastic. Even your car. So it is made out of what? Plastic these days. So we don't have to worry as much as. But the ulama of fiqh put it in their books because back then, a lot of this used to be made out of bones. Especially also the comb of women they used to tie their hair with. All made out of bones. And let's discuss that, and also we'll talk about the bones used in medical surgery. So, the opinion of the Hanbali madhab is what? The mayta, the khanzir we've done. The khanzir, the bones of the khanzir are najas or not? Done. Khalas, this is, we don't even visit that. Now we're talking about mayta. We said, according to the Hanbali madhab, the bones of the mayta is najas. And the bones of the animal that is allowed to eat and slaughter according to Sharia is not najas. And the khanzir, we've done with the khanzir. Now, how do we analyze this? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has a beautiful opinion. He said, and I just narrate in the meaning what Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah, he said, about the bones of the mayta. And this is the second opinion, by the way, in the madhab. Yani the madhab is not only one opinion. Al-Hanabila is not one opinion. The Hanabila on two opinion. One opinion says it is najas. And the second opinion says it is not najas. He said that the bones, even though it feels the pain, but it does not have the life that the skin and the flesh has. The bones. Because he said it does not have the full life. Does not have the full life, and it is similar to the nail and the hair. And the blood does not go through the bones. Even though, sometimes if you cut the bone on the saw, you'll see some bit of blood. But there is no veins go inside the bones. That's why he did not give it the same ruling as, yes, the flesh. And there is the hadith that we mentioned earlier of the Prophet ﷺ. What is haram from the mayta is to eat it. He didn't give it the same ruling. That's why he said the bones of the mayta are allowed to use. He said, are allowed to use. And he said, yani, it is similar to the animal that has no blood, like the cockroach, and some of the animals have, like the fly. And the fly, we said, it's not najis. Is the fly najis? That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, dip it and remove it. He said, this is, the bones are the same of the flies, and yani, the animal that has no nafs sa'ila, has no yani, blood in it. Mafhum? So he said it is the same. Other ulama disagreed with Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah. Other ulama have disagreed with Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah. They said, no, yani it is not the same because there is a difference between the bones and the finger and the hair, because there is some pain can be felt in the bones. But the correct opinion, subhanAllah, the bone, it's not like the flesh, is no big amount of blood runs into it. That's why the bone, if it's cleaned from all the flesh that is on it and from the blood that is on it, the bone of the mayta, then it is allowed to be used, and that is the correct opinion, inshallah. Because also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said about in the hadith that is narrated in Imam Muslim, what did he say? He said it is forbidden to eat. Yani, you are not allowed to eat the mayta, the flesh of the mayta, but the bones has nothing to do with it. You don't eat it, yani you don't take the bone and cook it, but for you to use it, there is no burden, inshallah. There is no burden, inshallah, using the bones of the mayta. Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, Ibn Shihab Az-Zuhri, he said, he is one of the imam of the muhaddithin, the greatest, one of the greatest tabi'een and ulama al-hadith. He said, about the bones of the maytat, like the elephant and others, he said, أَدْرَكْتُ نَاسًا مِنْ سَلَفِ الْأُمَّةِ يَتَمَشَّطُونَ بِهَا وَيَدْهُنُونَ فِيهَا لَا يَرَوْنَ فِيهِ بَأْسًا. He said, I have met people from our predecessors, from the scholars. They use it to comb with it and to put perfume with it, يعني دهان, perfume, and they did not see any problem with it. This is one athar I'd like to narrate to you. Now, we have a question here that comes to mind. What about, because this becoming yani, something that is common, which is using the skin of the pig for operations, and using the skin, using the bones of the pig for operations. We've done with skin and the bones. The bones of the pig, we said it is najas. The skin of the pig is najas. The flesh of the pig is najas. We said also, yani the pig, what I mean with the pig, and every animal that you're not allowed to eat. So now as for the bones of an animal that you're not allowed to eat is najas. Yani one day you decided to have a chain key with bones made out of snake or pig bones, that's najas. Tiger bones, it's najas. The bones of a sheep that is a mater, then it is allowed to be used. The bones of an animal that you are allowed to eat and slaughter according to the Sharia, it is not najas. It is, indeed it is, biwa. Khalas, we've done. Now, let's go to the point of yani, the bone and the skin that is used for medical reasons. Let's read what the Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah said. He said, if a bone is broken, he must fix it with a bone that is pure. يَجْبُرُهُ بِعَظْمٍ طَاهِرٍ, with pure bone. They used to get a bone and put it on it and use it as splint. He said, قَالَ أَصْحَابُنَا, our companions, يعني the Shafi'iyya, لَا يَجُوزُ, it is not allowed for him to use a splint from a bone that is impure as long as he is able to get the pure one. And if he does it, he must remove it and put a pure one. And Nawawi, he said, he has to remove it if he does not fear on himself a greater harm.
He must remove it if he does not fear on himself a greater harm. So here he allowed it if there is a greater harm. So Sheikh Muhammad al-Mukhtar al-Shaqiti, by the way, Sheikh Muhammad al-Mukhtar al-Shaqiti, hafidhahullah, Allah protect him, he's got a PhD thesis about, and one of its kind, yani, about matters to do with modern medical operations. And he said in his book, rahimahullah, he commented, he said, then you're allowed to use them with two conditions. You're allowed to use the material which is najas under two conditions. First, there is a need to it. Second, that you do not find something to replace it. Yani first, there is a need to it. Not something out of luxury. Yani you go to the doctor, he says, look, we can do this operation and we can do that operation. You choose. You can do this operation using XYZ method, and we can do this operation using pig skin. You choose. Here, there is no necessity. You can go with the first that is using material which is tahir. But let's say they said, look, the new medical research, the only material we have is the pig skin. Take it or leave it. And it is necessary for you. Yani someone, let's say, wal'iyadu billah, got disfigured. Their face, and that there's something wrong has happened to them. طيب. And they have to, out of necessity. Like sometimes they use for the heart, sammam, a valve for the heart. It is made out of pig skin. Of course, this is a necessity. And of course, because of the Muslims today, they haven't advanced their science. The only science that the Muslims advanced is the gossip these days. طيب. They haven't advanced in science so much. So they have to use a valve that is made, the kuffar have made, which is made out of pig. Now it is a necessity. Can you see? So there has to be a necessity. Secondly, that he cannot find a tahir yaqumu maqamahu, something that is pure can replace it. Yani they say there is a valve that is made from pig, and there is valve that is made from sheep or cow. You choose. Or mechanical, the brother is saying. Or mechanical. Then you say, no, I'll go with the mechanical. From this we understand that using material that is najas in medical operations, whether to put bones from the bones of khanzir or skin from the skin of khanzir, if there is a necessity and there is no replacement. But once there is no necessity or there is a replacement, you cannot use it. Here he said, وَكُلُّ مَيْتَةٍ نَجِسَةٍ إِلَّا الْآدَمِي. كُلُّ مَيْتَةٍ نَجِسَةٍ إِلَّا الْآدَمِي. He said, every corpse is unclean, every corpse is unclean with the following exceptions. So every mayta, corpse that you find, is najas, except three exceptions. The corpse of the human being, that the dead body is not najas, and that is the correct opinion. What is the dalil that every mayta is najas? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا أَن يَكُونَ مَيْتَةً أَوْ دَمًا مَسْفُوحًا أَوْ لَحْمَ خِنْزِيرٍ فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, except if it is mayta or blood that gushes forth or flesh of swine, indeed it is rijs, and rijs mean najas. Here he said, every mayta is najas. This is the ayah made. Every mayta is najas. But there is other adillah that came and gave a specification to this general ruling. First, that the mayta, the body of a human being. The body of a human being. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored the son of Adam. So out of his honoring that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he ruled that they are pure whilst they are alive and dead. طيب, Bani Adam are into two, Muslim and a kafir. طيب, Muslim and a kafir. The Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'minu la yanjus. The believer does not become najas. As for the kafir, what is the dalil that the kafir is not najas? The Sharia of Islam made allowable to us to get married to the people of the book. So if they were najas, then you cannot marry them. True or not? Also,
we are allowed to eat their food. So the food of Ahlul Kitab we are allowed to eat, and of course they touch it and they use it. The verse that says that the mushriks are najas, it is the najasa of aqidah, the spiritual najasa, not physical najasa, because the sharia allowed you to eat from the pots of Ahlul Kitab, and they do touch it, and the sharia allowed you to get married to Ahlul Kitab. That means the kafir is not najas. The aqidah of the kafir, it is najas. Now, we move to the second point. عفواً وَحَيَوَانُ الْمَاءِ الَّذِي لَا يَعِيشُ إِلَّا فِيهِ لِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الْبَحْرِ هُوَ الطَّهُورُ مَاؤُهُ الْحِلُّ مَيْتَتُهُ. Here he said, the corpse of the aquatic animal that lives only in the water because of the saying of Allah's Messenger concerning the ocean, its water is purifying and its dead animal are halal. So here he made a specification. He said, the dead animal of the aquatic animal, yani the animal that lives in the water and does not live except in the water, live only in the water. Why? He's trying to, the Shaykh is distinguishing between an animal that can live in the water for a little amount of time and come out. Like the crocodile. The crocodile, can you say it is an animal that lives in the water? No. That's why the mater, corpse of crocodile, is najas. But if you see a shark floating or a fish floating, of course if it hasn't rotted, then you can eat it. Even if it did rot, you can't eat it because of health issues, but at the same time, it is not najas. It is not najas. As for the frogs, there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ forbidding us from killing the frog, which means you're not allowed to eat it. Yani, brother is asking, what about an animal that lives in the water full time and has got washed away to the ocean, like a dolphin or something? Or a whale. Yeah, mother, there's a hadith. The companions found a big fish, a big whale, and they took the flesh of it, and the Prophet ﷺ asked him to give him some. It was a mater. The prohibition for the crocodile comes from two ways. The ulama have distinguished, they said that the crocodile is haram to eat for two reasons. One, it is not really an aquatic animal, even though it lives in the water. Secondly, it is min al-hayawanat al-adiyah, like a sibah. It is more closer to a lion and a tiger that attacks. A predator animal. It is a predator. That's why they said it is haram to eat the flesh of crocodile. And here he said, because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the hadith, we mentioned that. Here he said, وَمَا لَا نَفْسَ لَهُ سَائِلَةٌ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مُتَوَلِّدًا مِنَ النَّجَاسَاتِ. Here he said, the corpse of a creature that has no flowing blood, so long as it is not generated from impure substances. What is that? Here the Shaykh is saying, he's saying about those little insects that have no blood flowing into them. For example, like the fly, like the mosquitoes, like the gnats, cockroaches, scorpions, spiders, all those grasshoppers, all those, they are not najas. They are not najas. It doesn't mean you're allowed to eat them, but they're not najas. They are not najas. And here he said, as for the ones they generated from impure substance. Why they said that? They said that sometimes the filth of an animal, let's say a corpse of a donkey, a domestic donkey, after it dies you see animals coming out from it. That's what he's hinting to. But the modern science has proven, ya ikhwa, that those animals that comes out, those little insects that come out from, let's say, a domestic donkey, those little insects that come out, actually it is not coming out from him. It is from a food, fodder that he ate, for example, that has the eggs of that animal, and then after he's dead, because it did not fully digest, those little eggs hatched and came out. So it is not
the born of it from najasa. طيب. The born of it and the cause of it is not from najasa. But I mean, it is very hard anyway to know which is which. If a fly comes in your food, you don't know whether it was born from that or just born from an egg that is laid somewhere pure. So we understand this is to do with the najasat, and this is what the Sheikh have said. Now, before I go, before we stop the lesson, which is we start next week with the chapter of answering the call of nature, I want to mention a couple of things. First, in the issue of removing body parts from a body to another. If we say the body of a human being is not najas, so if someone passed away and now with the new medical surgery they can quickly take the heart or quickly take the liver or quickly take the parts of that body and put it into someone who is alive. Of course, because it is not najis, you can. Same thing, the skin. When for example, someone who is burnt, they take the skin from a place to another or from a dead to another and they use the skin, you're not using something that is najis. Mafhum? You're not using something that is najas. Are we allowed to donate the body parts? Basic principle, it is haram to sell. Yani someone sells his kidney, this is haram because you don't own it. Allah owns your body, you don't own it, that's why it's haram to sell it. The donation in general, all the modern fatwa bodies, they allowed it. But it is not as open as ticket on your driver's license and say, yes, I'll donate all my limbs. You have to know that there is restrictions. Who it's going to. And so the issue here that I like to tell you and advise you with, when I was preparing this lesson, I went to the book of Sheikh Muhammad Mukhtar Shaqiti. I found that the Sheikh wrote about 50 to 60 pages about this topic. So, to summarize it, yarhamukallah, and give you the summary and the gist of it, it is improper because it's a dangerous topic. It has to be studied in details, and that in itself needs two or to three lectures. So to just talk about it like this, it is not proper. Mafhum? And to say that yes, it is allowed and just go and do, yani tick that yes, if I die, take everything off my body, I do not advise and recommend that. And I don't see it should be done, especially in a country that could go to an enemy of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mafhum? So let's understand this. And when we implement fatawa that comes from overseas, not necessarily can be used in a country where the Muslims are small minority. I will not go further in this topic. What I'd like you to do is, if issue arise like this, like for example, your wife need your kidney, your father need your kidney, or your mother need something, yani may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all the Muslims from sicknesses, I highly recommend that you ask the alim at that time, at the time of need. There's no, these issues, I am really against an open fatwa. Even though our ulama, they said, yes, it is allowed. But when they gave those fatawa, they put 10 pages, 15 pages, 20 pages, how this fatwa is. Unfortunately, because we become a McDonald's ilm, we want just yes or no, black or white. This, a lot of the times, doesn't apply. Even, yani, that's why I refrained when I saw the Sheikh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him and protect him. When I saw the Shaykh, he went into like 50 to 60 pages and said, no. Either I do a series of lectures about it and I translate, because I'm not a mujtahid like the Shaykh to come up with my own opinions. Either I'm going to translate what exactly he said, or I refrain from the topic and say to you, generally the ulama, the body of the fatawi, allowed it, but in each situation it needs for you to talk about with your local alim that is in the area who can give you
alim that adheres to the Quran and Sunnah, and he is pious and he fears Allah, he gives you the correct opinion at the correct time. Now, another point I wanted to talk about, which is the renant, what the ulama call al-infiha. Do you want me to give you the quick ruling, or we just go through details about it? Just a bit of details. Two main types of animals. Animals are allowed to eat, and animals we're not allowed to eat. The animals we're allowed to eat, it's either slaughtered according to the Sharia or it is not. As for the ones that is slaughtered according to the Sharia, this is, there is no disagreement, then you can use the rennet that comes out of it to make cheese. And by the way, it is found in the intestine of the, inside the stomach of the animal, and it's in a small bag. They take a drop or two out of it and they put it in the cheese so they can make cheese out of it. As for the one that is taken from the khanzir, Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah narrated two opinions. Some, he said, it is allowed, and some it is not. But we refer back to our principle, which is anything that comes out from the khanzir, we do not come near it. Whether it's bones, whether it's skin, tanned or not tanned, or whether it is, of course, lahma. Lahma by the consensus of the ulama, because the ayah is clear about it. So the rennet that comes out from the khanzir, the correct opinion, inshallah, it is not to come near it altogether. As for the one that is from the maita, this is where the main battlefield between the ulama. This is where the main problem. The ulama are into two opinions, two main opinions. The majority, al-jumhur, from the Malikiya, Shafi'iyya, and the Hanabila, they said it is not allowed to be used, and hence the cheese that come out of it, you cannot eat. You have the Ahnaf and Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, which is a chosen opinion, yani, in his ikhtiyarat, and he found in the Fatawi rahimahullah, he said it is allowed to be used. Let me read to you what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, and this way we can come to a conclusion about the issue of this rennet, because a lot of people do ask about it, especially living here in the West. Read directly from the Fatawi of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He said, وَأَمَّا لَبَنُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَإِنْفِحَتُهَا فَفِيهِ قَوْلَانِ مَشْهُورَانِ لِلْعُلَمَةِ. As for the milk that comes from the maita and the infiha, which is the rennet, has two main opinions amongst the scholars. أَحَدُهُمَا أَنَّ ذَلِكَ طَاهِرٌ. One of them that it is pure, كَقَوْلِ أَبِي حَنِيفَ وَغَيْرُهُ وَهُوَ إِحْدَى الرِّوَايَتَيْنِ عَنْ أَحْمَدٍ. The first, that it is طاهر, this is the opinion of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and others, and also one of the narration from the two narrations of Imam Ahmad. So from the Imam Ahmad there is no two narrations. Like one it's allowed and one it is not allowed. And the second opinion that it is najas, which is qawli Malik wa Shafi'i wa riwayah al-ukhra an Ahmad. It is najas, it is the opinion of Malik and Shafi'i and another narration from Imam Ahmad. And here he said, وَعَلَى هَذَا النِّزَاعِ إِنْ بَنَى نِزَاعُهُمْ فِي جِبْنِ الْمَجُوسِ. And based on this difference of opinion, يعني the difference of opinion about the cheese of the Majus, فَإِنَّ ذَبَائِحَ الْمَجُوسِ حَرَامٌ عِنْدَ جَمَاهِيرِ السَّلَفِ وَالْخَلَفِ. The animal that is being killed or sacrificed or killed by the Majus, and that is alike the word sacrifice, be careful, because it says sometimes it means sacrifice as a ibadah. Because the word sacrificing is comes killing an animal with an intention of a worship, whether to Allah or other than Allah. So we have to be careful when we use the word sacrifice. Here he said, it is haram according to the majority of the scholars from the predecessors and later ulama. وَقَدْ قِيلَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مُجْمَعٌ عَلَيْهِ بَيْنَ الصَّحَابَةِ. And it said that it is agreed upon amongst the Sahaba. فَإِذَا صَنَعُوا جُبْنًا وَالْجُبْنُ يُصْنَعُ بِالْإِنْفِحَ كَانَ فِي هَذَانِ الْقَوْلَانِ. He said, and when they make a cheese, and the cheese is made from the infiha, which is the rennet, it has, there is in it two opinions. وَالْأَظْهَرُ أَنَّ جُبْنَهُمْ حَلَالٌ. And the more apparent opinion that their cheese is halal. وَأَنَّ إِنْفِحَةَ الْمَيْتَةِ وَلَبَنَهَا طَاهِرٌ. And the infiha of the maita and the milk that comes out of it is طَاهِرٌ. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الصَّحَابَ لَمَّا فَتَحُوا بِلَادَ الْعِرَاقِ أكلوا جبن المجوس. And this is because the companions, when they conquered and opened the Iraq, they did eat the cheese of the Majus. وكان هذا ظاهرا شائعا بينهم. And this was apparent and known amongst the companions رضي الله عنهم. وما ينقل عن بعضهم من كراهة ذلك ففيه نظر. And whatever been narrated from them, from يعني the companions, that they disliked that, يعني you need to reflect upon that. What does he mean فيه نظر? يعني you need to revise it and see, because it is incorrect. That's what علماء when they say فيه نظر. You need to reflect upon that, يعني to think about it again, to take another look at it. Here he said, whatever is being narrated from the people of Hijaz, you need to reflect upon that. وأهل العراق كانوا أعلم بهذا. And the people of Iraq knew better in this. He's talking about whom? Companions of the Prophet ﷺ. فَإِنَّ الْمَجُوسَ كَانُوا بِبِلَادِهِمْ وَلَمْ يَكُونُوا بِأَرْضِ الْحِجَازِ. Because the Majus, they were in Iraq, but they were not in Hijaz. يعني he's saying, whatever it's been narrated to forbid this from the companions who lived in Hijaz, they never met the Majus. They do not know about the Majus. Whilst the other companions who were in Iraq, then you better about the Majus. Here he said, ويدل على ذلك أن سلمان الفارسي كان هو نائب عمر بن الخطاب على المدائن. And what testifies to that, that Salman al-Farisi, he was the representative or sent by Umar رضي الله عنه in المدائن. المدائن is the city of which city? المدائن Persia. طيب. وكان يدعو الفرس إلى الإسلام. He used to call the Persians to Islam. وقد ثبت عنه أنه سئل عن شيء من السمن والجبن والفراء. And it's been narrated, يعني it's been confirmed from him that he was asked about the salmon, which is the ghee and the cheese, والفراء. فقال الحلال ما أحله الله في كتابه. He said the halal is what Allah made halal in his book. والحرام ما حرم الله في كتابه. أن حرام what is being narrated is حرام in his book. وما سكت عنه فهو مما عفي عنه. And whatever that the book did not say anything about, it is which is allowed. And وقد رواه أبو داود مرفوعا إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And it's been narrated, يعني this hadith it's been narrated from Abu Dawood to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومعلوم أنه لم يكن السؤال عن جبن المسلمين وأهل الكتاب. And it's known that the question was not about the cheese of the Muslims nor أهل الكتاب. فإن هذا أمر بين. This is a clear matter, يعني the cheese of أهل الكتاب and the Muslims, it's something clear that you are allowed to eat. وإنما كان السؤال عن جبن المجوسي. Indeed, the question was about the cheese of the Majus. فدل ذلك على أن سلمان كان يفتي بحلها. And this proof that Salman used to give a fatwa that it is allowed. وإذا كان روي ذلك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انقطع النزاع بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And if it's been narrated by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, then the difference of opinion and disagreement should be cut off by the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then he added something rational, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, through the intellect. He said, وَأَيْضًا فَاللَّبَنُ وَالْإِنْفِحَ لَمْ يَمُوتَ. And also, the laban, the milk, and the infiha, they did not die. Because it is inside, يعني the milk inside, death doesn't reach to it. It's not like the flesh, not like the blood, not like the skin, where it dies.
وَإِنَّمَا تَنَجِّسُهُمَا مِنْ نَجَسِهِمَا لِكَوْنِهِمَا فِي وِعَاءِ النَّجِسِ فيكون مائعا في وعاء النجس. فالتنجيس مبني على مقدمتين, على أن المائع لاقى وعاء نجسا, وعلى أنه إذا كان كذلك صار نجسا.
And indeed the najasa, the impurity, because they are in a najas container, which is inside the intestine, inside the stomach, like the ruling of having liquid inside a najas container. So the impurity here is based on two introductions. That the ma'i, the liquid, has touched wi'a, a container that is najas. And based on this, it becomes najas.
فقيل فيقال, and we reply to that, he said, أولا, first, لا نسلم أن المائع ينجس بملاقات النجاسة.
We do not surrender and agree that the liquid, if it is inside a najis container, it becomes najis. وقد تقدم أن السنة دلت على طهارته لا على نجاسته. And prior to that, the Sunnah has testified that it is pure, not it is, and it is not najis. ويقال ثانيا أن الملاقاة في الباطن لا حكم لها. And secondly, it be said that the touching inside the stomach and the intestine has no ruling, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he said,
يخرج من بين فرث ودم لبنا خالصا سائغا للشاربين ولهذا يجوز حمل الصبي الصغير في الصلاة مع ما في بطنه والله أعلم.
هي سورة النحل verse 66 when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we give you to drink of that which is in their bellies from between exertions and blood, pure milk palatable to the drinkers. And it, in this way it is allowed to carry the young boy in the salat, even though inside his stomach there is najasa and filth. So what we conclude with that the rennet, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he put with a very strong argument, the narration and the companions, like Salman al-Farisi who lived in Persia, and others, allowed and they gave fatwa that it is allowed to eat the cheese of the Majus. Based on this, we conclude that rennet comes from, or it is into three types. The first type that comes from an animal that is allowed to eat slaughtered according to the Sharia of Islam. This is no disagreement about it. The rennet that comes from the khanzir, because anything that comes from the khanzir is filth and impure, hence we don't use that rennet, and then that cheese is not allowed to eat. The rennet that comes from the maita, correct opinion, it is allowed to be used in cheese. And also we need to understand that they do not use big amount, only one drop or two. And some ulama talked about it, that it turns to cheese itself. And it is what we call, what we spoke about previously, the process of istihala. What is the process of istihala? To change the essence from one thing to another thing. So we do not need to go into extreme when it comes to the issue of cheese that a rennet used in it, unless it is specified rennet that comes from swine, then this is a rennet that we should avoid and stay away from. Now, anyway, we'll stop at this. Subhanakallah bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We'll take the questions inshallah. Is it permissible to sell stuff, shoes, bags to non-Muslims made of pigs? I spoke about this last week. If you download lesson number, which? Yeah, last week we spoke about it in Fikak al-Jiha. Yes, lesson number 5. The recordings is lesson number 5. If you can download it, I'm sure you ask some of the sisters inside, they know where you can download it, because they already, the lectures are on the internet, you can download it and listen to it, because that's like a 20-minute discussion. But the simple answer is no, you're not allowed to. But if you want to know why, download lesson number 5. The washing, Jazakallah khair, this is an important question. He's asking, if I held a purse made of pig skin or snake skin, do my hand become najas? No, because there's no transferation to the najas, to the najasa. But let's say you wore gloves that are made out of pig skin, and then you sweated in them, then you have to wash your hands. You have to wash your hands, because the najasa of that pig skin came on your hand. Jazakallah khair. Nice, very good question. Crabs and water snakes, inshallah, according to the correct opinion, you're allowed to eat. Only the Ahnaf have different. The Ahnaf, because the difference of opinion comes from the definition to what is fish. To what is fish? They say anything that have what they call it, scales. Crabs doesn't have scales. Same prawns don't have scales. Same as oysters don't have scales. That's for them, it's not considered fish. Hence, you're not allowed to eat it. But they missing out big time.
To purchase firecrackers,
know to do what in their Eid or your Eid. First, firecrackers to begin with, regardless whether it's a celebration for their Eid or not, regardless, before we, it's a waste of money. Why would someone want to die and burn money? طيب. Now, that's my problem. I go into too much details, unfortunately. Some have said it is allowed because of the joy that gives and the colors and everything. But yani, if you're really to compare blowing $50,000 in the air and $10,000, I think there is a big waste of money where it could go to places where that $10,000 can put 10,000 family into, giving meals on one day. As for selling them to the kuffar or not selling them kuffar, selling fireworks for the kuffar, you are agreeing with them in their Eid and supporting their Eid. Ibn Turkumani from the Madhab al-Hanafi, he said, carrying a batikha for a kafir in his Eid, like slaughtering a pig. Yeah, it's his Eid. You say, look, to your wife, you say, our neighbor is now getting a lot of people. This is for his Eid. I'll carry a batikha and give it to him. It's like killing a pig. Right? So, as you see, it is a dangerous matter. Now,